Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
So Holly asked me Monday if I would do this message today. So it's good for me because I have to stand and deliver, which means I haven't prepared a bunch of notes like I used to do and get foiled up in my notes and stuff like that. So I thought the Holy Spirit just said, why don't you try the little exercise you guys did in Allen's Park? And we went to Allen's Park for a retreat this past summer. And this was another one that I thought was pretty cool. Holly sprung on me, okay, well, Brother John, why don't you go over there and help the people that don't have their the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that don't have their tongues yet. It'll be in this room over here. And I'm going, humming. How's that going to work? Okay, I'm ready. All right, so I went back in the room, and there were two people that came in that room that day, and I just started letting the Holy Spirit lead me in what I was supposed to say to them, and I told them about the gifts, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit? Anybody know them? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, serving. Actually, that's one of the main gifts over there. The Holy Spirit gifts, you know, the are. Pardon me?
What are you saying?
No, I'm saying that the Holy Spirit gifts, there's nine of them.
Healing's
one.
Miracles
is another one.
Tongues
and interpretation of tongues. Okay. Did I miss one? Did we miss one?
Discerning
of spirits. Okay. So when you ask, if you haven't had that opportunity yet to ask Jesus for the gifts for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all it is a desire. It's nothing real complicated or anything. You can just ask Jesus for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of speaking in tongues. The gift of speaking in tongues is so rich. If you've never experienced it, or if you're interested in experiencing it, I'll be happy to share that with anybody after the service. But what I'd like to do, what I did with this group, is I thought there were only two people, and they got their prayer language that night. And then there were three people waiting outside. And so those three people came in. Pretty soon parts of the congregation were coming in, and we were all like a team working together and laying hands on these people and getting their gifts. And then more people came in. Pretty soon the room was fuller than this with people in there, both people that already had their gift and people that wanted the gift of tongues. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So one of the girls was having trouble. She only had three syllables for years. She had three syllables of her prayer language, and she couldn't get past it. And so we said, well, why don't you try singing it? Try simplifying it. You know, sing some syllables. La, 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 la. You know, and then we went, okay, well, how about... let's see what way. Jesus loves me. So we went, la sha ta ta la sha ba. And all of a sudden, boom, doing that, she busted out of her three syllables and got her prayer language. But as the night went on, the whole group started to sing in the prayer language. So the Holy Spirit said, let's try that tonight, right now. Let's try, yeah. Let's see. It's 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, maybe 12. Let me see if it's 1 Corinthians 12 or 2. Let's see. Let's see. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Or for to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same spirit, to another faith, by the same spirit, greater faith, you know, to another gifts of healing, by the same spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, a lot of people think the interpretation of tongues is just somebody speaking out their tongues in the congregation, then somebody else going, oh, that's what you said. You know, they interpret it, what the meaning is. But that interpretation of tongues, I'm just going on a side tangent here. You can actually ask the Holy Spirit to give you an interpretation of your own tongue. That's a possibility. You can ask what you've said. And it goes, there's so much richness in this, in the gift of the prayer language. You can, one of my favorite mentors is Andrew Womack, and he says he'll read a passage of Scripture, and then he'll sit there, and then he'll go, he'll read the passage of Scripture, meditate on it, like, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And then he'll go, and he'll get revelation, understanding beyond just what he read from in his conscious mind. The Spirit will give him revelation, how it applies to him, etc. And so anybody can ask for that. That's something you could ask for, to not only with your tongues, but ask for interpretation. Ask the Holy Spirit to interpret what you just said. So there's just so many things. We can praise God in our prayer language, and that's what we're going to just try a little exercise tonight, just to for the fun of it. Let's do that. Let's love on him, because, you know, it says that the groanings inside, the Holy Spirit groans with, goes beyond words what you can say, but in your prayer language you can actually give out that love in your prayer language from spirit to God. And if you don't have your tongues, just sing Alleluia along with us, or you know, or actually speak, God, I love you, you know, sing, I love you. So we're going to just do a little sing session together now, and the Spirit will take it as long as it goes, and when it's done, it's done. So let's try that. Let's have a little. Shana nania la taparia shana nania nangadaboya la 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 ya shandirete. Oh na 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 ni na 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 she la la ya to tehi. Mondanadidi alele shunno dete te ote akala shundununu yudari biate te shundari andare te la 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 le auroro io mone io dare wa la la deri shu Holy, holy, holy. Shini anadadi. Amen. Did you go anywhere during that little blurb? Did you notice that we didn't rehearse the song before we started singing? The Holy Spirit was leading this whole group in a song that, you know, he says, bring to me a new song. We brought to him a new song. This group right here just brought to him a new song tonight. And there's whatever is impacted in that. Take the nutrients off of that. And I want to challenge you to do this in your quiet time, in the secret place of the Most High. You know, Psalm 91 tells us to go to the secret place of the Most High, where He wraps His arms around us and takes care of us. So let me just read that first little couple blurbs of Psalm 91. Because when Holly and Lori were telling me that they could get into the heavenly realms when I first started doing this 25 years ago, or 26, whatever it's been, since I've been in this ministry, which I love this ministry, because you don't get this, some of the stuff in normal church that you get from this ministry. But when they started saying that, I started getting jealous, and I'm starting to think, why can't I go there? Why can't I get into the heavenly realms? And it tells us that we can. And I just want to get that verse out, because there's a couple truth sources that God has given me in this day of deception and everything. There's a couple of truth sources that you can count on and bring it to this bank your family farm on, and one is the Word of God. That's truth. We don't hear a whole lot of truth, but that the Word of God is alive. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is inside of us. Do you know that when you asked Christ to come into your heart, He took you up on that? Okay, He's in your heart. And we also have the mind of Christ. I didn't understand that at all at first. Wow, well, that's wonderful, I got the mind of Christ, but how do I ever access it? Well, I'm starting to learn that you can have a question, or you can have something that you're dealing with, and then you can speak in your prayer language and start getting revelation knowledge from the mind of Christ. So your pea brain can align with Christ's brain and start getting revelation knowledge on any decision that you want to make, you know, or anything you're dealing with, that you can go there. And isn't that amazing? And if you haven't had a chance to do that, start trying that in your secret place. See, I'm a risk taker, so I decided, God told me, well, John, you take all these risks in the physical realm, why don't you try taking some risks in the spiritual realm? So I've been taking him up on that. And over years, you start learning a few things. If you guys keep showing up to these things, you're going to get your next breakthrough wherever that is. You know, we just went to a great conference. I see some of you here that just went to a great conference. Jonathan Kahn was there, and Jim Hockaday, and some big heavy hitters. And I got so much out of that. But if you get a chance to go to some of these retreats, not just the Wednesday services, but some of you have been to these retreats, don't you get at least something out of a retreat that you can carry with you along your journey that brings you to the next step of what you're trying to get in your life? So let's see, I went off on a rabbit trail there. Where was I at first?
Psalm 91,
thank you. I got some left brain people in here. I'm totally right brain. I'm creative crazy. And I need left brain people to help me figure out how to open the door and find my phone. All right, so let's see. Psalm 91. I use the Blue Letter Bible because I can go to the Greek and Hebrew meanings of words in the Blue Letter Bible. And it's a great tool for me. So I'm going to go to Psalm 91 here, if it lets me. Psalm 91. To those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Most of the Almighty. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord, He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. This is the psalm of this day, one of the psalms of this day, you know, that we have that is a blessing for us to actually, I like practical Christianity. I like stuff that works. This works, you know. Because our emotions tend to have us on a roller coaster ride, don't they sometimes? Some of you have conquered that. I haven't completely conquered that yet. I'm still working on that. And Mary helps me with that. But, you know, when the winds and the rains beat upon your house, it shouldn't crumble. It's not going to crumble because you're founded upon a rock. So you're sitting here with some, you know, fiery dart that the enemy's thrown at you during the course of your day, and all of a sudden, boom, your peace is gone. What happened, man? I lost my joy. You know, Paul tells us to be at peace and in joy always. So if I'm sitting here and I let this circumstance take me out, I have to trace it back and I have to find out how to get back in. So what I've been learning through some of the scholars that have taught me these things is that we got to take every thought captive. We have to take that thought. Where did that thought or emotion originate? And fight your battle. We're responsible for fighting some of our battles, and some of our battles are emotional, and hits the enemy's trying to take us out with. We don't have to settle for any of that, because the victory's already been won. But if we sit here and we're living in our soulish man too long, and we sit there living in just circumstances and stuff like that, we can get taken out pretty easily, and then you're back on this roller coaster ride and hoping that you'll get back your peace again. It doesn't have to take long. You can go right there, and you use the promises and the Word of God to fight your battle. And you don't have to be a scholar to use the Word of God. All you need is a couple of solid promises and verses that he's given you. You stand on those verses and you start to work with them. I'll give you an example of one that I use. I go from Philippians chapter 4. Paul wrote this while he was in prison. You know, so I'll get back to that in a second, because I just thought of the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." You know, I don't know if you guys remember some of these, how they hit you or whatever. Do you know how that song was written? Anybody know how the song was written? "It Is Well With My Soul"? Know the story behind it? This guy had lost his whole family in a shipwreck or whatever. He wrote that song right after that. "It Is Well With My Soul." You know, so you think, well, you know, you've got this tragedy or that tragedy. Have you ever, how can you say it is well with my soul? Because your soul is crying out. Your emotions are screaming. You're taken out. You don't have to be taken out. Emotions and my mental thoughts do not have to take you out. You can take charge of that, and then you can tell your emotions, "No, actually, it is well with my soul today. This just happened, but I'm not going to let the enemy have the satisfaction of taking me out through it. So I'm declaring it is well with my soul." I use that. Lately, I've been using it to help me. But what I use, this has been a life verse of mine all the way back. I've been a Christian for 53 years now. So back early on, Philippians 4 just jumped out at me. And it says, "Don't worry about anything." Any worriers in here? "Don't worry about anything, okay? Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done." Four steps. You know, this one I've memorized because I need it a lot. Sometimes I really need it, you know, in the middle of a battle, a hard one, you know. I don't get taken out as bad as I used to, but there are some things that the enemy knows how to pull the lever. But anyway, so, first one, don't worry about anything. Phew. Not supposed to have anxious thoughts. Instead, pray about it. Bring it to God. Prayer changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you believe that?
Yeah.
We see it. Look at your whole life. I like to do this exercise every once in a while. I like to go back and say, okay, let's start from the earliest memory I have as a child. Where did God show up? Oh my gosh. He gave me a life vision that I still use today. When I was 4 years old, He brought me to heaven. I have that one before I ever became a Christian. You know, He gave me that vision. Then you go through your life, trace back, okay, wow, He was there at this time. And He brought me through that one. And then you go into the reckless high school days where you're just all over the place, and He rescued me so many times there. I shouldn't be alive. He rescued me so many times. And then you go through the 60s, and He got me through that. Praise God. 180 degrees out of that road into this road that I'm on now. You know? Back then, we were trying to find ourselves. That was the big thing of the day. Who am I? Where am I going? What's it all about? You know, and you'd sit in a cross-legged position, you know, trying to meditate on the God you already are, which is phony baloney from the Hindu religion. I got into that for a long time. And then God, the Hound of Heaven, found me. I wasn't looking for Him. The Hound of Heaven found me, and Christians were coming, and I, to make a long story short, I eventually, because I was looking for peace back in those days, and we all were. We were trying to change the world back then the wrong way, but looking for peace, and I found it the day I said yes to Jesus Christ. I looked up in the sky. Some girls had taken me to a Bible study. I looked up at the stars in heaven, and I had a wrestling match going on inside my soul because I said, we're talking about the same thing, just using different language. They said, no, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Ooh. That leaves out all the other religions. That leaves out every little thing I was dabbling in and trying to get peace at. And then they said, he who is not for me is against me. And I sat there thinking, well, I don't feel against him, but I guess I am because I'm not for him. So I, in my pride, just left that meeting and thanked them. I saw the love in the group, and I saw the caring that they had for me, which blew me away. That was a big part that blew me away. But I went out, and that night, I had a wrestling match in my soul, so I sat there, and I had to solve it. So I looked up into the stars, and I said, Jesus, if you're real, come into my heart, forgive my sins. And I thought, phew, wrestling match over. Now I can just go my merry way with my hair down in the middle of my back and all my vices and this, that, and the other that had to be taken care of. But the next day that I meditated, instead of meditating on a flower, I meditated on Jesus Christ, and it was like the lights just poof, went on inside my whole being. Amen. And I go, oh my gosh, I just found what I was searching for all this time.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus. And I never had to go anywhere else after that, ever. You know, I've been on that journey. I've fallen and taken side tangents and big hacks of sin had to come off and still do. But I've never had to go anywhere else, and I was into philosophy and all this stuff, and God showed me the truth. And that's where you get real peace. Not pseudo, not fake peace that you're, or you know, He gives you the longing of your heart beyond what you could, where you could get anywhere else. So I say that because it took me a long time to come around to where I was ready for listening to people speak in tongues. and gyrator on the floor and stuff like that. And and so I had, there had to be a paradigm shift somewhere, because I was coming straight out of evangelical land into a meeting like this. And man, that was really tough for me. But anyway, my wife brought me there reluctantly. I didn't want to go. She brought me there reluctantly, and my son was sitting there, and he was looking at me. And I, Edgar Bailey said, "Is there anyone here that doesn't speak in tongues?" I raised my hand proudly. "Yeah, what are you going to do about it?" You know, that was my attitude. "What are you going to do about that?" He goes, "You will before the night's over," and he points right at me. This should be interesting. So anyway, these guys are giggling on the floor in holy laughter. This is after the service. Everybody's all over the place. People slain in the spirit, this, that, and the other. And I'm sitting there way in the back, and Edgar gets these two guys off the floor. Tom, remember Tom? And another guy. And they're sitting there kind of, you know, drunk in the spirit, and they come up to me and start putting their hands on my throat and trying to get me to speak in the tongues. And I'm going, no, not getting it. I can't fake it. I'm not getting it. And they were laughing, and they started bapping me upside the head. And I thought, well, maybe I'll bap you upside the head and see how funny you think it is. And my son's sitting there. And my son was in trouble, and he was sitting there, and he was looking at me being so stubborn. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, what if this is the only thing that he'll get that'll bring him to Jesus? So I started to soften up a little bit. They worked on me for a while, and they said, "Why don't you go into Holly's line, this, that, and the other?" I said, "Look, I can't fake it." And he said, "Well, try tomorrow or something." That night I went home. The next morning I uttered some syllables came out in languages, sounded like languages, Chinese and French and this, that, and the other was coming out of my mouth, and I go, whoa. And Mary walked by the room and goes, "You got him, didn't you?"
You came around the corner and looked at like you, and I said, "You got him, don't you?"
Yeah, and so,
different.
Man, that was 25, 26 years ago. And God has taken me on such a journey since then. But I can empathize with people that just have been taught that this is goofy, you know, this tongues thing and this charismatic thing is, because that's where I was. I was told that, you know, a lot of Baptist stuff was in me that I was religious baggage. But anyway, so we fast forwards up to the retreats. These retreats, I got to encourage you guys, if you've never been on one of these retreats, you need to go. There's going to be one in May coming up here. Then there's going to be some more in Colorado that are coming up. When you're there 3 days locked in with like-minded people that are all searching for the truth and trying to get somewhere in their faith, it's amazing how the Lord will deal with you. If you take that, carve out that kind of time to do something, you're serious. You know, if you're paying money to go to Colorado and you want something more, you're going to get your something more.
That's right.
And every retreat's a little different. So if you've only been to one and you don't think this is your cup of tea, well, give it another shot, because it's amazing how far God will be taking you on this journey. And right now, it's important for us to make that time alone with the Lord every day. I don't know if some of you might not be making that time alone with the Lord every day, but you need to abide in Him. And you need to get into this personal, one-on-one identity with, you got to know Jesus. You know, I sat there trying to be successful all my life. I was a self-made man, and I got into teaching and did real well in the profession. I just kept using the gifts and talents that He gave me. But I started seeing that this is new territory where you start hearing from the Holy Spirit and working from your spirit man instead of your own talents and willpower. You know, your own talents and willpower can be a crutch, can be a block for you to receive more from Christ and from the Holy Spirit. So I'm, you know, all of a sudden I woke up one day and I'm facing 73. And all my life I've just been, you know, like living the abundant life. Because there was a promise that said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I come to bring you life and bring it abundantly. And God has blessed me all my life with abundance because I got in a career that was the right fit for me. I was an art teacher and a gymnastics coach, and we did really well, and I really did well, and I met a wonderful woman that's my wife right now. God has blessed me so much. But the when you get to be this age, you're getting closer to the end, you know. I don't know how much longer I've got, you know. And it's hit me at 70 for some reason. And I started realizing, really, I need to be about knowing Christ. That needs to be my goal. I was seeing from two guys that were fantastic role models, King David and Psalm 27. Let me just quickly read that one, just part of that one. King David in Psalm 27. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. Number one goal. He's a king. He's got everything he could ever want. But he wants to delight in the Lord and meditate in his temple, okay? We can do that. All of us can do that. We can go home into the privacy of our own home and be quiet, spend quiet time, and put on some soaking music, and go past this earthly stuff into the throne room. He says we can go boldly through the veil into the throne room. Start taking journeys to the throne room, and then spending time. That time is you connecting and intimately with the living God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You get this intimate relationship. From that point is where your ministry should flourish and everything should come out of. Because so many people get bogged down in doing religion so that they can earn their way to get there somehow, so they can make enough brownie points this side of heaven to get there. And you can't, we can't, none of us can do it. For by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everything is a gift. And we need to just receive that gift and then act, then let him give us marching orders and move in his spirit instead of our flesh. Because a lot of people are living their whole Christianity in the flesh, thinking that maybe someday I'll be good enough to warrant getting to heaven. You won't be that way. That isn't the way there. So Paul, you know, who had all the degrees, he had like doctorate degrees and stuff like that. At the end of his life, he counts it all as dung compared to knowing Jesus. We need to get to that place where we know him, where we can hear the Holy Spirit's voice. At some place, we need to get to hear, to know how to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. And it'll get clearer the more you operate it. And this will be the last thing I want to share with you, is when I was in Ellen's Park and I saw all those people getting their prayer language, and I was in the middle of it, I started thinking, wow, that's more of what I want. I want God to be, you know, I want the Holy Spirit to be flowing through me. And I have a passion for climbing mountains, so after my car accident, I didn't know if I could ever climb again. God gave me the miracle of being able to climb three more 14ers after my accident. So that was like a miracle. And this last 14er I climbed right after Allen's Park, And I had had a similar experience to this before, where I asked the Holy Spirit to climb with me. So he starts taking me up the mountain, and he tells me when to take a drink of water. He tells me where to step. He was actually, I was speaking, and I wasn't sure which rock to step on. I was going, okay, that one. And I stepped on that one. And then I do it again, and I'd step on that rock instead of this one. There's some dangers in climbing. So I went up the whole mountain with him, and I didn't have to speak it out anymore. It was like he actually highlighted it for me, every step of the way, and when to eat the protein bar, and when to take a rest. I would just take the keys from him and listen to his voice, and he got me up and down that mountain. Not only got me up and down it, but thoroughly enjoyed the experience. And I intend to do some more because there's 54 of them out there, and I got 37 now. I'm going after all 54, if God's willing. But anyway, to hear his voice. To hear his voice, you gotta labor to rest. That's on us. You have to labor to rest and hear his voice to go to that quiet place. Is it up a tree somewhere? Is it out by a lake? Is it in your bedroom? Is it your chair? That's a sign I'm almost done. So anyway, yeah, so my challenge to you is don't leave this earth without knowing and being in love with Jesus Christ and knowing him personal, because you've spent so much time with him. That's my challenge to you and encouragement, if you're not already doing that. I know a lot of you are, but there may be some people that are a little lazy or get sidetracked from the world that's doing this, that, or the other. Do that and read the Word. So you become such a scholar of the Word that the Holy Spirit can bring the Word to you in a conversation. You've got the Scripture right there, because he's operating with what you have. If you don't have anything to work with, if your Bible's sitting collecting dust on a cabinet somewhere, then he can only work with what you've got with Scripture, because it is the minute you say something, the minute you speak a word, God's busy doing what he wants to do with that word in that heart, whether you know what it is or not. But when you speak in the Word in your conversations, in your divine encounters, when you meet someone along the way, if you are able to give the Word, the right Word at the right time, man, that's going to do amazing things in that person's life. So God love you all, and have a great night. Blessings.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from SpiritofGodWorldwide.com.